Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
So I've sort of broken the teaching to about five parts or four parts. Okay, I can cover the fifth part. To about four parts. The need for faithful men. I'm just giving us so we can have an idea of how we're going to receive God's word this morning. Examples of faithful men. Requirements for faithful men. And the reward of faithful men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's start the reading of God's word from Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. We have it on the screen already. The Bible says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. See that? That's the Holy Spirit asking the question. Every man can come and say, I'm doing very well. I'm doing right. I'm good enough. But the Bible is saying that the Holy Spirit is praying, even though we are saying all of these things to ourselves, what is God saying? A faithful man who can find. That poses a question to us. Does it mean faithful men are scarce? Let's look at another scripture. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. So what we saw in that scripture is God's faithfulness versus our faithfulness, right? We disclaim to ourselves that we are good, right? Versus God saying we are not. Because the Bible says that a man will declare his goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Look at this other one. Psalms 12 and verse 1. Psalms 12 and verse 1. Psalms 12 and verse 1. I'm just playing a background here. Psalms 12 and verse 1. It says, help. Okay, I would have preferred this in the New King James, but okay. Help, Lord, for the godly men sees it. See that? What sees it? Godly men sees. They are getting extinct. They are getting what? Extinct. They cease. Hallelujah. Amen. For the faithful disappear. What happened to the faithful? What happened to the faithful? The faithful what? Disappear. Where are they going to? Where are they going to? Hallelujah. Just follow. The faithful what? Disappear. This is the cry of the Holy Spirit in this our age. I'm coming, teaching prophetically, speaking to what God's mind speaks to us as a church and as the body of Christ. The faithful what? Disappear. Now, think about it. Our fathers are reaching the peak of their time with us. Baba Adeboye, Baba Kumuyi, Bishop Oyedepo, and the list goes on. Matthew Ashimolo just clocked 71 last week. Pastor Matthew, 71. But where is the next generation coming? The Bible says what? The faithful what? Disappear among the sons of men. What is that telling me? There is a need for faithfulness. And there is a scarcity of faithfulness. Hallelujah. There is a need for what? Faithfulness. And there is a scarcity of what? Faithfulness. So the cry of the Spirit today is that we are faithful men. And the question is, where is God demanding this faithfulness? You know, like I said, if I'm going to unpack this teaching, it will take us like maybe a minimum of four subjects to look at this. But you know, the most critical thing and the most critical area where God is demanding faithfulness is our stewardship in the body of Christ, our stewardship in the church. I can show you in scripture, but I don't have time to go through all of that details. But God is saying that faithful men are what? Ask us. Not your neighbor at the side. Are you one of them? Ah. No, nobody answer you. Nudge them by the side. Are you one of them? If faithful men are scarce, it tells me that in a church of 200, how many do you think will be faithful? The Bible says what? Scarce. They are the minority. That tells us there is a need for what? Faithfulness. Let's look at a few examples of faithful men. Let's look at Hebrews 1 to 6. Let's look at a few examples of faithful men. Hallelujah. Hebrews 3:1-6. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your profession, Christ Jesus, verse 2. Who was faithful? Listen to this. Who was faithful to him who that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. So we have two men declared faithful here. Jesus and what? And Moses. And if we're using those two men as a case study, let's look at a few things they said. Let's end there. Let's look at a few things those two men said. Look at John 9 and verse 4. Listen to this. Faithful men. Examples of faithful men. Examples of faithful men. Look at this. I'm rushing because I want to spend a lot more time on the requirement for faithfulness. Examples of faithful men. John 9 and verse 4. It says, I must walk the walk of him who sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. See an example of a faithful man. He says, I must walk the walk of him who sent me while it is what? The night cometh when no man can. How many of us realize we are still in the day? Mommy, you are still in the day. If Bishop Oyedepo is winning thousands of souls at his age, you are still in the day. The day is the day of your youth. The day is the day of everybody in this church that is looking at me at this time. The Lord is saying that I must walk the walk of him who sent me while it is day. Most of us don't realize that we are sent. Let's take a quick detour. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Look at this. This speaks to our calling in Christ. When Christ called us, we'll still get back to Jesus and as an example. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are his what? Workmanship. Take this in the Amplified. We are his what? Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Look at it in the Amplified. Okay, let's finish in the, okay. For we are his workmanship. His own masterwork. A work of art. This is the product of salvation. If you read verse 7, 8, and 9, it tells you about the work of salvation being by grace through faith. Lest no one should boast. So at the end of salvation, look at what Christ is saying. We are his workmanship. That new man he created, that man that came into salvation by grace through faith, is his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used. What is that man ready to be doing? To be done? To sit down? What is that man ready to do? To attend church? What is that man ready to do? To stay at home and only fight for his ends and living? That man was created what? Ready to be used by God. And somebody is sitting down here and telling me that, no, I can't talk to somebody in my street about Jesus Christ. I led someone to Christ 4 weeks ago. Less than a month ago. And by last week when we saw, he was already talking to people about Jesus Christ. And somebody is 5 years in the faith and you're telling me you can't talk to your neighbor about Jesus Christ. You don't need to be taught about Jesus Christ. Just go and share your testimony. He said that new man is created with everything that makes him useful to God. For good works, which God prepared for him, for us, beforehand. Taking part with which he set. So that we should walk in them. Living the good life. What is the good life? Somebody answer me, what's the good life? We have $1 million in your account. Is that a good life? Hallelujah. What is the good life? We are his workmanship, created to be used by him. Living the good life which he prepared and made ready for us. You see, somebody is asking and praying to God and struggling and shouting, bless me, shout me, shit me, bless me. And God is saying, see, the good life you are looking for is being a workman. Let's tie this up to Matthew 6:33. He says what in Matthew 6:33? We know this very quickly. What? Seek first what? And is what? And these things the other men has fallen according to Bishop Oedipo will say what? But what are we doing? The reverse. We are seeking the other things and expecting him to do the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, there's a background I missed. What is that background? Two things. Two mindsets that will govern this. Whatever you catch, you catch. Whatever you write, you write. Two mindsets. This is part of discussing the need for faithful men. Two critical mindsets. Number one, understanding the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Number one is what? Understanding the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Psalms 12 and verse 4. We read verse 1 earlier. Psalms 12 and verse 4. Look at this. Understanding the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We are saved, but we don't understand his Lordship. It says, what said, speaking of some evil people, using flattery words, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are ours. Listen to them. They are saying their life is theirs. Their life is for their purpose. Their life is for their interest. Who is Lord over us? Who is what? Who is Lord over us? This is a question the unfaithful men are asking. Because in verse 1, it says the faithful men sees it. So they are telling us the narrative of what the unfaithful men are saying. Who is Lord over? Should I give it to you? Should we talk to ourselves? Us. We are Lord over our lives. We are Lord of our lives. Hallelujah. Our lives in Christ is created to serve God's purpose. Somebody should write that down. Our life in Christ is not created to make us prosper. Our life in Christ is created to make us serve God's purpose. Faithful men sees it. Faithful men what? Sees it. Let's go back to examples. Look at another thing Jesus said. Okay. One other mindset is we must recognize we're in a spiritual family. Another key mindset to have. The first mindset to have in dealing with us understanding stewardship and the requirement for stewardship is number one, we must understand what? The Lordship of Christ. That our lives is not ours. Number two is that we must understand that we're in a spiritual family. Let's use our earthly family for an example. I was in pastor's house this morning, early in the morning, to pick some things to church. And I had a conversation going on in the house. I don't know what Joel was doing. Maybe Joel was brushing his teeth or doing something. And then Pastor Omi said, Joshua, please go and help your brother with that. Why did she do that? Sorry? Family, right? This is why. Joshua is more matured. Hence, there is a demand and responsibility on him to take care of the younger ones. As it is in the earthly, so it is in the spiritual. Many of us don't realize that the salvation of many people and their growth in Christ and establishments is tied to our lives. Many of us don't realize that. Now, I used this example while with the cell leaders earlier in the month when we were doing a review. And I was talking about the sense of responsibility in a home. That if a parent wants to get something done, right? Now, this, a lot of us, will, yes, you see, I'm giving you a key. If you ever catch this key, come and meet me after 3 months. If you ever catch this key, come and meet me after 1 year and show me your life. If you ever, if you catch a glimpse of it and run with it. So, listen to this. I was talking to them and we were talking about responsibility and some things. And I give an example. I said, if a parent is away from the house and guests are coming to the house, right, for a visit, and the parent wants the house to be in order, right, the parent will call a child, right? The person calls a child. If the parent has 3 mature children, let's say they are all above 10 years old, that means they are all well aware. Who would the parents call among all 3 children? Not necessarily. The most responsible. God, use me. God, use me. God, use me. See why God has not used you. God will call the most what? Responsible. See, understand we're in a spiritual family. Let's go on. Let's get back to examples of faithful men. Examples of faithful men. Let's look at John 5:17. We're looking at some, you know, the Bible, when we read Hebrews 3:1-3, talked about 2 men that were faithful, right? We're just looking at a few things about them. I can't go into a lot of the details on things about them, but let's look at John 5:17. John 5:17. John chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible says here, that, but Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. What has the Father been doing? What is the Son doing? What has the Father been doing? What is the Son doing? Luke 2 gives us a sight of what the work means there. Jesus goes to the temple at age 12, and he was listening to the thing, and he says, don't you know I will be about my Father's business? The woman at the well, they came to ask him, and they said, Master, you said you are hungry. We have gone to get food for you. Now you are talking to a woman, not even just a woman. Jesus, you are talking to a rabbi. You are talking to a Samaritan woman. Don't you know you shouldn't? And he said, my meat is to do the will of him who has sent me. What brings you satisfaction? These are the examples of the men, the scripture, the Holy Spirit told us were what? Faithful. And he says, what gives my satisfaction? Yes, I was tired. Yes, I was hungry. But what brings my satisfaction was the life that was given to this woman. Hallelujah. Let's look at Moses. I'll just give us one example with Moses. Moses, let's look at Exodus 32, verse 32. Exodus 32, verse 32. This is a very nerving scripture. This scripture is very what? It makes me shiver. It makes me shiver as a spiritual leader. It makes me shiver as a believer. Look at this. Listen to what Moses said. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. Do you know what this man is saying? Do you know what this man is saying? Do you know what this man is saying? The children of Israel have rebelled against God. God is ready to erase the entire race and start a new race with Moses. And this man is saying, Lord, if you do this, take my name for the book of life. Let me go to hell in place of these people. A faithful man who can find. A faithful man who can find. You read through Numbers and you see when Aaron and Miriam started to instigate things against Moses. You are the one that told us God's word. Don't marry any foreigner. You have gone to marry an Ethiopian woman. And the God said, Who are these people talking? Who are those people talking? Before I will start talking, you take leprosy. Do you know why God did that? In that scripture, it says, I have found Moses faithful in all his house. A faithful man who can find. There are a lot of examples in the scripture when Paul was giving his admonition and he was talking about faithful people that worked with him. You can look at some of them later. Colossians 1:7, Colossians 4:7, Colossians 4:9, Ephesians 6:21, just a few. There are a lot of them scattered through scripture. When Paul was speaking about people in the ministry that worked with him, they were faithful. Hallelujah. So, but what is this faithfulness I've been talking about? What is faithfulness? We have seen that God requires in stewardship that we have seen that we are created unto what? Good works. Hallelujah. We have seen that we are created unto good works. We are God's workmanship. We are enabled and empowered to do the work of God. Hallelujah. So what is faithfulness? Let me give us a few definitions for those of us taking notes. Doing what as he has asked us to do. What's faithfulness? What's faithfulness? That's faithfulness. Doing what he has asked us to do. See, don't let me give you something that you can't see. If you forget anything today, remember this. Faithfulness is what? Doing what he has asked us to do. What's faithfulness? Fulfilling the assignment given to you. We saw it in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. That we all have assignments. Do you know the work of the pastors and the prophets and the teachers and the apostles and the evangelists is not the work of the ministry? Sorry, did anybody hear that? Am I saying something that is wrong? I don't have time to go into it. Ephesians 4, 11 to 15. Read that when you get home. The work of the prophets, the pastors, the evangelists, the teachers, the prophets, and the apostles is to prepare us for the work or the ministry. But in our age, who is doing the ministry? Or what? Who have we told, have we said in our hearts, we are paying them now. Aren't we pastor is collecting salary now. He's not working for free now. I have my own 9-to-5. I have to work for myself. But who is God's demand on to do the work of the ministry? On us. That's an aside. Anyway. Requirements for faithfulness. I want to take some time on this. Requirements for faithfulness. What are the requirements? The key requirements for faithfulness. We have seen that in Psalms 12 and verse 2, that some people will come out and declare themselves faithful. Sorry, that's Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Some people will come and declare themselves faithful, but God wouldn't declare them faithful, right? So, we need to know on what basis does God declare people what? Faithful. So, we can measure ourselves in the light of this. We can measure our lives in the light of this. We can measure our service in the choir in the light of this. We can measure our service in the ocean in the light of this. We can measure our service in sanitation in the light of this. God's word is the basis and the measurement for which we measure whatever God has called us to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at the first one. Let's look at Luke 13, 6 to 9. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we enjoying this sermon? We're all quiet, oh. We are also very quiet. Hallelujah. Luke 13:69. Good. He also spoke this parable. Listen to the parable he spoke. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Okay? Then he said to the keepers of his vineyard, look, For 3 years. How many years? For how many years? For how many years? For how many years? Listen to this. For 3 years, I have come seeking fruit of this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? Listen, this is the Lord speaking. For 3 years, this guy has been in church. For X and X years, I have been feeding him my word. For X and X years, I have been imparting him with my grace. For X and X years, I have been speaking to him in his heart. Hallelujah. But the master came and required fruit, and he found what? No fruit. And what did the master say? We're not reading our Bible. What did the master say? Leave it. Pet it. See, if we don't realize, God requires fruit from our lives. The master doesn't sow a seed without an expectation of fruit in return. He goes on to say, look at it. But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone. How many more years? This year also. Until I dig around it and fertilize it. Let's give it some more time. Hopefully. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can what? What should you do to it? Leave it. What? The first requirement in faithful stewardship is fruitfulness. Let me tie this verbatim to what it really is. Soul winning. I'm telling you verbatim. We can interpret that in several lights. Right? In several lights. Fruits of the Spirit. Blah, 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 blah. Let me tie this verbatim to what the scripture is saying here in its literal and figurative meaning. It's what? Soul winning. So a critical requirement for faithfulness is what? Fruitfulness. Being fruitful. Let's look at the next one. And mind you, we are not called to make what? Converts. We are called to make disciples. Mind you, FYI, so you know. We are not called to make what? Going into the world and make converts. Yes or no? Is that what the Bible said? Going into the world and make what? Disciples. Who will disciple them? Pastor Benga. Who is the person that led them to Christ? Is it the person? Let's leave it alone. Next one. Luke 16. Luke 16. I'm going to spend a little of time here. Luke 16. So that when we go out and we go through our day, the Holy Spirit will bring this thing to mind and trick you. What did I say? The Holy Spirit will bring it to mind and what? In case you didn't know before. Luke 16. Luke 16. Let's do verse 1 to 5. Then we'll do verse 8 and 12. It says, and he also said to his disciples, yeah? There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that his man was wasting his goods. I've endowed him with a lot of things, but he's not making anything of it. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give account. Somebody say, give account. Give account. Give account. God is an accountant. I can show you that very clearly in scripture. God is what? An accountant. And all the accountant is about is what? Profit and debit and. That's the language of accountants. I can show you very well. God is an accountant. If you didn't know God's profession before, now you know it. And it says what? Give account. Let's stop there. Give account. The next requirement in faithfulness is accountability. I'm going to say this now. I'll come back a little bit before we close, and I'll balance it up with something else. Our stewardship is not in isolation. Our stewardship is not. So, we are what? In a family. Remember? The Lord is our Lord. Right? Primary mindsets to have when discussing and thinking about stewardship. So, you have an elder brother. An elder brother that is a little more mature, at least 5 years older than you. And he tells the younger brother, go and wash dishes. I will sweep the house. And the younger brother goes, because the dad says, I've left you in charge of the house. The elder brother, I've left you in charge of the house. Manage and ensure everything is taken care of before I what? Come back. The younger brother goes, no, daddy didn't tell me. Do you know many of us are doing that? Let me give you a simple example that a lot of us make. Come to church. I feel burdened in my spirit to pray on Sunday. Imagine so. A critical requirement in faithfulness is what? Accountability. Meaning that God has put people over us that we report to, that he has given a mandate to instruct us in our stewardship, that we will eventually come and be account and will be accountable for what they have mandated us to do. So stewardship is not in what? Isolation. You're not going to wake up and say, okay, now this is what I must be doing. Hey, except your daddy Gio or your Pastor Benga. If you are in this assembly, you are under what? Instruction. Don't let me jab us. We'll be all right. Amen. Let's get the next one. Let's take the next one. Matthew 25:14-30. We can't read that. We know it's a popular scripture. It's the parable of what? The talent. The parable of what? The talent. And what does that parable tell us? The master gives 1 5. The master gives another 1 2. Then the master gives another 1. The guy the master gives 5 goes, labors with that 5 is given to him, and he comes back and what? Brings a return. Right? The one that the master gives 2 goes, labors with it, brings a return of the same equivalent what? Measure, right? The one that the master gives 1 goes, digs the ground and says, this is my master, he wants to be reaping where he did not sow. And the master comes, remember, accountability, right? And he asks them to what? Give account of their stewardship, right? The master comes, asks them to give account of their stewardship. What does that scripture tell us? I can spend an entire 2 hours sermon on that scripture and I won't exhaust it. But let me give you a few things to learn from that scripture. The point here is proportional return. It's a requirement for stewardship. Proportional what? Return. This is something I realized early on in my faith. Do you know what? This is something I realized very early, and it was my disciple Adam that taught me this. Solid the word of God. God bless his soul. And he taught me this. If Baba Adeboye dies now, and I die now, listen, if Baba Adeboye dies now, and I go to be with the Lord to now, do you know God can reward us equally? Pastor Kenny, error, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Bible has said it. God will judge him at the proportion to the endowment he's giving him. God will reward him at that same measure of proportion. God will judge me at the proportion of the grace and the measure he has given me now. And he will reward me at that same level of proportion. So I can go to heaven and get the same crown that the boy will get. Not to say that I will now. Baba's faithfulness, oh my. Above and beyond. But this is how God perceives these things. Faithfulness, a measurement for faithfulness is what? Proportional. That means at whatever level you are now, God is judging your level of faithfulness at that level. Let me tell you this, most of us don't realize. The same judgment that Pastor Benga is getting is the same you are going to get in heaven. I'll look at that shortly. We'll look at that. Because there are two questions God asks every human being that exists. There are only two. Godriello, I read it from the first book I read when I gave my life to Christ. My mother's had the copy in the house. I just gave my life to Christ. I just went to go and take that book. His name is called Purpose Driven Life. Le Quare. Yeah, and he said this in that book. He said that when we get to heaven, there is the first question. What did you do to my son? That will determine where or what divide of eternity we spend the rest of eternity. The next question, what did you do with what I asked you to do? What did you do with what I gave you? That will determine how we spend eternity. The question of stewardship is the second question. Hence, Paul tells us, be heavenly conscious. See, we have a sure reward. See, you guys don't know. See, say you live now. You live 120 years. How many years? You live, or you stretch it. You live 120 years. But do you know how long eternity is? Hiya. Don't let the Satan deceive us. He said in Colossians, he says, looking on those things which are above. See a man's mindset. So much so, he says, I press towards the mark for the heavenly calling. See the man's mindset. And he came to the end of his race. I have run my race. I've been faithful. Now, awaits me. He has a mindset of a sure reward. Hey. The point in that story is that we are going to be judged and rewarded at the measure of what we have been given per time. The next one, Matthew 24, 41 to 51. Matthew 24, 41 to 51. It also gives us a similar story on stewardship. Okay. And it says, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Let me paraphrase this because of our time. So, the question here is, if a master gives the servant responsibility and he goes away without monitoring him, how diligent would that servant be, that steward be, at the assignment given to him? The next requirement is diligence. Diligence stewardship. And the reverse of diligence is this: eye service. What's the reverse of diligence? Eye service. Let's move to the next one. I want to, like I said, I can't do justice to a lot of these things. The next one, this is the most important. I'll spend some time on this. In fact, if we end here, I think we're already blessed. Are we blessed? Are we blessed? Amen. I'm blessed. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 to 5. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 to 5. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Listen to this. Moreover, somebody say moreover. Moreover, it is required in stewardship that one be found. The same measure that God gave to Adam is the same measure God will give to the last saints before Christ returns. Every time in scripture that God spoke about stewardship, the reward for stewardship or the yardstick of stewardship was always faithfulness. But that's not what we want to see here. Let's go quickly. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. Listen to this. You have to get this. In fact, I do not even judge myself. So he's saying that, how do I measure my faithfulness? Is it by what you say? What pastor says? What the judge says? What even I myself say? That's his question. Listen to this. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is... If you get this, you have gotten the gist. He who judges me is... Pastor Gwenga. Eh? You're united. So, somebody is coming late for Pariah's house. And he says, no. Do you know the traffic that was on the road? Aren't you living in Lagos? Don't you know there's always traffic on the road? And he says, you are judging yourself. Oh, it's the traffic. It's the traffic. You can't live in this Lagos and come anywhere early. Do you go to your work late? He who judges me is... tall. Let's go to the next one. That is understanding this. In the requirements for faithfulness, we must understand that our faithfulness is God-centered. We must understand that our faithfulness is what? God-centered. Let me eat Brother John. Brother John is our soon-to-be husband, so he's going to be celebrating, but I can eat him a jab. Pastor Kenny, this multimedia thing, go hear me more. Today, it is working. Tomorrow, it's not working. Next tomorrow, the device has something has scrambled in the US, in the CPU. So, who is the one that is measuring your faithfulness? So, I understand, though, Brother John. But it was God that said, cut it off. It wasn't me. Was it me? I understand. But God said what? Cut it off. Let's look at the last one, the last point. Let's flip to the, if you are using a Bible, you might flip, but 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12 to 16. Now, if anyone, this is a very powerful scripture, let's read it. Read, please, when we get to verse 16, put it in the Amplified. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, he's talking about the foundation, building upon the foundations of the doctrines of Christ and all those kind of things, apostles, prophets, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, stubble, each one's work will become manifest. You have it in the Amplified? Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Listen to this. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. What is the quality? Is it gold? Is it silver? Is it air? Is it stubble? Fire will test each of our works of what is what? What sort? What quality is it? If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures. So some people's work will endure. Hence, the scripture says, when we get to heaven, the Lord will wipe away some tears. Some people will cry because they will see their reward in heaven and they will say, is this how I'm going to live my eternity? Amen. If anyone's work, which is built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If the work endures, what will happen? If the work doesn't endure, what will happen? Eh? So they have brought fire and his paper. If the work doesn't endure, will the person receive a reward? So do you think everybody in the Christian faith is going to receive a reward in heaven? Let's read. Is our Bible? Am I reading Quran? Am I reading Quran? Is this the book of Buddha? It's our Bible. Let's read. Amen. 15 and 16, let me wrap this up. And I think I just share one or two things that will close in 5 minutes. If anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer loss. I told you, God is an accountant, right? But he himself he will get to heaven. Yet, so as true word, fire. Let's read the last verse in the Amplified. Verse 16. We know the scripture very quickly, right? Do you not know Yahweh, the temple of the Lord? We always say that to say, be purified. Yes, there is a particular scenario and context that fits that. But this context is different. Amplified. It says, do you not know and understand that you, who is he talking to? So you see that scripture wasn't speaking to apostles and prophets and teachers. That you, the church, at the temple of God. Remember, he was talking about what? Know how you are building. So we are collaborating with God to build the church. And that spirit, and that the spirit of God dwells in you permanently, in collective and individually. So, why am I putting this in the Amplified? End. That's how far we can go. That's how far we can go. Amen. Amen. Let's take these two scriptures down that speaks to the reward of faithfulness. So let's know why we are doing what we are doing. I can't give you too many of those scriptures, to be honest. I'll just give you two. Let's look at Psalms 10, verse 1 and 2. Psalms 10, verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Sorry, I think there's a mistake there. Let's take Proverbs 28 and verse 2. And verse 20. Proverbs 28, 20. Proverbs 28, 20. Okay, it says, a faithful man shall abound with what? A faithful man shall what? You see, the apostles asked Jesus, we have left all, we have followed you. Where is our reward? And he told them that their reward, yes, be received in heaven. But whatever they've left on this earth in service for the kingdom, to the degree of 100-fold, they'll receive in this life. To the degree of how many fold? We're not getting it. They're not getting it. Let me tell you two stories before I leave. Personal stories. So, I'm not preaching at us. Let me be honest. I live this, measuring myself on this on a daily basis. Last year, I didn't reach the mark. And I'll be honest to say, I had justifiable reasons why I didn't reach the mark last year. And I had a discussion with the Lord. And he told me, and I knew. He didn't need to tell me because I know these things. And I knew I didn't reach the mark last year. So I'm not preaching at us, please. We are all living our race, right? Going through this journey. I remember a few weeks after I got married, 2018, my mom said, come and do Thanksgiving in our church. Yeah, I've come here, we have done Thanksgiving. We have done their own wedding and everything. Come and do Thanksgiving in our church. And sentimentally, I said, Kilo and Ben, it's not one Sunday. Let's do it for you. After this, it's not over. And God was looking at me. And I was sitting in that church that day. And I just heard the voice of the Lord. What are you doing here? See, most of us, we think we are hearing God. We are not hearing God. I heard it clearly. And I know when the Lord speaks to me. What are you doing here? I said, we are doing Thanksgiving in my mother's church. And the Lord told me, you left my work. For who? See, it's better we get the rebuke of the Lord here than to get to heaven and cry. There are a lot of things that I can't share with you. There are a lot. There are a lot I can't share with you. You come, you say, Pastor. Oh, Pastor prophesied. Nothing's happened in my life. There's a lot of things I can't share with you. Let me give you one something that happened a few times. Not once, not twice, not three times. And I can give you a lot, but I won't go into that because I'm not here to talk about myself. We have looked at the word of God, right? And I've seen it's the word of God that we heard. I remember a few years ago, maybe about 4 years ago, we had just moved into this facility. I was living at Bagada at the time. And I was what you would call class act broke. What will you call me? Class act what? Broke. As in, I didn't have 50 naira to my name for that season. Sometimes it would come, I was really, really struggling. We were married then, my wife and I. Nobody will know, we'll come to church, everybody, my business was zero. Business that I was doing well before we got married, zero. We were really struggling. And I remember that time, I was head of facility then with Sister Joy and team. I remember my fantastic guys. And we always would come to church on Saturdays to clean. And I remember there was a number of times, not once, not twice, that I walked from Bagada to this church and walked back because I didn't have money. I'm not saying this to toot my own. I don't know how many kilometers is from Bagada to Maryland. There was one day, we and Joy were together that day. So we were going back. So I think she was going somewhere. So we were going. I said, okay, no worry. We'll see you. And she had gone, crossed over. And I said, I just want to pray a bit. And she said, I locked the door. I carried my kaya. I started the walk. See, God rewards faithfulness. See, aside from me mentioning this day, nobody has known about this thing before. What are the excuses you are given? I can't talk about the excuses we are given. I don't have time to talk about the excuses we are given that is injuring our faithfulness. I don't have time for that. I had it in my notes, but I said, no, I won't touch it. That let's hear what God has told us and let's go and run with it. What are the excuses we are given? The Lord is the one that is marking our scripts. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that as we have heard your word, you have instructed us, our hearts will run with this truth. That when it's all said and done, you will find us faithful. That every phase of our lives, you find us faithful. Amen. Amen. Let's pray as we read God's word. Are we going to God's word? Father, we thank you. We ask that the preaching of the teaching of your word come with great power. We ask that the hearts of the people are opened. We come against the power of the prince of the air over the atmosphere. We take authority in Jesus' name. And we cast out every spirit and every demon that wants to come and seize the word of God from the entering the hearts of your people. We ask, Lord, that as your word comes, the heart is fertile and it bears fruit. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'll be teaching this morning on faithfulness, a requirement in stewardship. Faithfulness, a requirement in stewardship. So I've sort of broken the teaching to about five parts or four parts. Okay, I can cover the fifth part. To about four parts. The need for faithful men. I'm just giving us so we can have an idea of how we're going to receive God's word this morning. Examples of faithful men. Requirements for faithful men. And the reward of faithful men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's start the reading of God's word from Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. We have it on the screen already. The Bible says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. See that? That's the Holy Spirit asking the question. Every man can come and say, I'm doing very well. I'm doing right. I'm good enough. But the Bible is saying that the Holy Spirit, even though we are saying all of these things to ourselves, what is God saying? A faithful man who can find. That poses a question to us. That does it mean faithful men are scarce? Let's look at another scripture. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. So what we saw in that scripture is God's faithfulness versus our faithfulness, right? We declaring to ourselves that we are good, right? Versus God saying we are not. Because the Bible says that a man will declare his goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Look at this other one. Psalms 12 and verse 1. Psalms 12 and verse 1. Psalms 12 and verse 1. I'm just playing a background here. Psalms 12 and verse 1. It says, help. Okay, I would have preferred this in the New King James, but okay. Help, Lord, for the godly men sees it. See that? What sees it? Godly men sees. They are getting extinct. They are getting what? Extinct. They cease. Hallelujah. Amen. For the faithful disappear. What happened to the faithful? What happened to the faithful? The faithful what? Disappear. Where are they going to? Where are they going to? Hallelujah. Just follow. The faithful what? Disappear. This is the cry of the Holy Spirit in this our age. I'm coming, teaching prophetically, speaking to what God's mind speaks to us as a church and as the body of Christ. The faithful what? Disappear. Now, think about it. Our fathers are reaching the peak of their time with us. Baba Adeboye, Baba Kumuyi, Bishop Oyedepo, and the list goes on. Matthew Ashimolo just clocked 71 last week. Pastor Matthew, 71. But where is the next generation coming? The Bible says what? The faithful what? Disappear among the sons of men. What is that telling me? There is a need for faithfulness. And there is a scarcity of faithfulness. Hallelujah. There is a need for what? Faithfulness. And there is a scarcity of what? Faithfulness. So the cry of the Spirit today is that we are faithful men. And the question is, where is God demanding this faithfulness? You know, like I said, if I'm going to unpack this teaching, it will take us like maybe a minimum of four subjects to look at this. But you know, the most critical thing and the most critical area where God is demanding faithfulness He said, our stewardship in the body of Christ. Our stewardship in the church. I can show you in scripture, but I don't have time to go through all of that details. But God is saying that faithful men are what? As God. Not your neighbor at the side. Are you one of them? No, nobody answer you. Not them by the side. Are you one of them? If faithful men are scarce, it tells me that in a church of 200, how many do you think will be faithful? The Bible says what? Scarce. They are the minority. That tells us there is a need for what? Faithfulness. Let's look at a few examples of faithful men. Let's look at Hebrews 1 to 6. Let's look at a few examples of faithful men. Hallelujah. Hebrews 3:1-6. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your profession, Christ Jesus, verse 2. Who was faithful? Listen to this. Who was faithful to him who that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. So we have two men declared faithful here. Jesus and what? And Moses. And if we're using those two men as a case study, let's look at a few things they said. Let's end there. Let's look at a few things those two men said. Look at John 9 and verse 4. Listen to this. Faithful men. Examples of faithful men. Examples of faithful men. Look at this. I'm rushing because I want to spend a lot more time on the requirement for faithfulness. Examples of faithful men. John 9 and verse 4, it says, I must walk the walk of him who sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. See an example of a faithful man. He says, I must walk the walk of him who sent me while it is what? The night cometh when no man can. How many of us realize we are still in the day? Mommy, you are still in the day. If Bishop Oyedepo is winning thousands of souls at his age, you are still in the day. The day is the day of your youth. The day is the day of everybody in this church that is looking at me at this time. The Lord is saying that I must walk the walk of him who sent me while it is day. Most of us don't realize that we are sent. Let's take a quick detour. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Look at this. This speaks to our calling in Christ. When Christ called us, we'll still get back to Jesus and as an example. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are his what? Workmanship. Take this in the Amplified. We are his what? Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Look at it in the Amplified. Okay, let's finish in the, okay. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art. This is the product of salvation. If you read verse 7, 8, and 9, it tells you about the work of salvation being by grace through faith. Lest no one should boast. So at the end of salvation, look at what Christ is saying. We are his workmanship. That new man he created, that man that came into salvation by grace through faith, is his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used. What is that man ready to be doing? To be done? To sit down? What is that man ready to do? To attend church? What is that man ready to do? To stay at home and only fight for his ends and living? That man was created what? Ready to be used by God. And somebody is sitting down here and telling me that, no, I can't talk to somebody in my street about Jesus Christ. I led someone to Christ 4 weeks ago, less than a month ago. And by last week when we saw, he was already talking to people about Jesus Christ. And somebody is 5 years in the faith and you're telling me you can't talk to your neighbor about Jesus Christ. You don't need to be taught about Jesus Christ. Just go and share your testimony. He said that new man is created with everything that makes him useful to God. for good works, which God prepared for him, for us, beforehand, taking part with which he set, so that we should walk in them, living the good life. What is the good life? Somebody answer me, what's the good life? We have $1 million in your account. Is that the good life? Hallelujah. What is the good life? We are his workmanship, created to be used by him. Living the good life which he prepared and made ready for us. You see, somebody is asking and praying to God and struggling and shouting, bless me, shout me, shit me, bless me. And God is saying, see, the good life you are looking for is being a workman. Let's tie this up to Matthew 6:33. He says what in Matthew 6:33? We know this very quickly. What? Seek first what? And is what? And these things the other men has fallen according to Bishop Oedipo will say what? But what are we doing? The reverse. We are seeking the other things and expecting him to do the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, there's a background I missed. What is that background? Two things. Two mindsets that will govern this. Whatever you catch, you catch. Whatever you write, you write. Two mindsets. This is part of discussing the need for faithful men. Two critical mindsets. Number one, understanding the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Number one is what? Understanding the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Psalms 12 and verse 4. We read verse 1 earlier. Psalms 12 and verse 4. Look at this. Understanding the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We are saved, but we don't understand his Lordship. He says, what said, speaking of some evil people, using flattery words, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are ours. Listen to them. They are saying their life is theirs. Their life is for their purpose. Their life is for their interest. Who is Lord over us? Who is what? Who is Lord over us? This is a question the unfaithful men are asking. Because in verse 1, it says the faithful men sees it. So they are telling us the narrative of what the unfaithful men are saying. Who is Lord over? Should I give it to you? Should we talk to ourselves? Us. We are Lord over our lives. We are Lord of our lives. Hallelujah. Our lives in Christ is created to serve God's purpose. Somebody should write that down. Our life in Christ is not created to make us prosper. Our life in Christ is created to make us serve God's purpose. Faithful men sees it. Faithful men what? Sees it. Let's go back to examples. Look at another thing Jesus said. Okay. One other mindset is we must recognize we're in a spiritual family. Another key mindset to have. The first mindset to have in dealing with us understanding stewardship and the requirement for stewardship is number one, we must understand what? The Lordship of Christ. That our lives is not ours. Number two is that we must understand that we're in a spiritual family. Let's use our earthly family for an example. I was in pastor's house this morning, early in the morning, to pick some things to church. And I had a conversation going on in the house. I don't know what Joel was doing. Maybe Joel was brushing his teeth or doing something. And then Pastor Omi said, Joshua, please go and help your brother with that. Why did she do that? Sorry? Family, right? This is why. Joshua is more matured. Hence, there is a demand and responsibility on him to take care of the younger ones. As it is in the earthly, so it is in the spiritual. Many of us don't realize that the salvation of many people and their growth in Christ and establishments is tied to our lives. Many of us don't realize that. Now, I used this example while with the cell leaders earlier in the month when we were doing a review. And I was talking about the sense of responsibility in a home. That if a parent wants to get something done, right? Now, this, a lot of us will, yes, you see, I'm giving you a key. If you ever catch this key, come and meet me after 3 months. If you ever catch this key, come and meet me after 1 year and show me your life. If you ever, if you catch a glimpse of it and run with it. So, listen to this. I was talking to them and we were talking about responsibility and some things. And I give an example. I said, if a parent is away from the house and guests are coming to the house, right, for a visit, and the parent wants the house to be in order, right? The parent will call a child, right? The person calls a child. If the parent has 3 mature children, let's say they are all above 10 years old, that means they are all well aware. Who would the parent call among all 3 children? Not necessarily. The most responsible. God, use me, God, use me, God, use me. See why God has not used you. God will call the most what? Responsible. See, understand we're in a spiritual family. Let's go on. Let's get back to examples of faithful men. Examples of faithful men. Let's look at John 5:17. We're looking at some, you know, the Bible, when we read Hebrews 3:1-3, talked about 2 men that were faithful, right? We're just looking at a few things about them. I can't go into a lot of the details on things about them, but let's look at John 5:17. John 5:17. John chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible says here that, but Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. What has the Father been doing? What is the Son doing? What has the Father been doing? What is the Son doing? Luke 2 gives us a sight of what the work means there. Jesus goes to the temple at age 12, and he was listening to the thing, and he says, don't you know I will be about my Father's business? The woman at the well, they came to ask him, and they said, Master, you said you are hungry. We have gone to get food for you. Now you are talking to a woman, not even just a woman. Jesus, you are talking to a rabbi. You are talking to a Samaritan woman. Don't you know you shouldn't? And he said to them, he said, my meat is to do the will of him who has sent me. What brings you satisfaction? These are the examples of the men the scripture, the Holy Spirit told us were what? Faithful. And he says, what gives my satisfaction? Yes, I was tired. Yes, I was hungry. But what brings my satisfaction was the life that was given to this woman. Hallelujah. Let's look at Moses. I'll just give us one example with Moses. Moses, let's look at Exodus 32, verse 32. Exodus 32, verse 32. This is a very nerving scripture. This scripture is very what? It makes me shiver. It makes me shiver as a spiritual leader. It makes me shiver as a believer. Look at this. Listen to what Moses said. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. Do you know what this man is saying? Do you know what this man is saying? Do you know what this man is saying? The children of Israel have rebelled against God. God is ready to erase the entire race and start a new race with Moses. And this man is saying, Lord, if you do this, take my name for the book of life. Let me go to hell in place of these people. A faithful man who can find. a faithful man, who can find? You read through Numbers and you see when Aaron and Miriam started to instigate things against Moses. You are the one that told us God's word. Don't marry any foreigner. You have gone to marry an Ethiopian woman. And he goes, who are these people talking? Who are those people talking? Before I will start talking, you take leprosy. Do you know why God did that? In that scripture, it says, I have found Moses faithful in all his house. A faithful man who can find. There are a lot of examples in the scripture when Paul was giving his admonition and he was talking about faithful people that worked with him. You can look at some of them later. Colossians 1:7, Colossians 4:7, Colossians 4:9, Ephesians 6:21, just a few. There are a lot of them scattered through scripture. When Paul was speaking about people in the ministry that worked with him, they were faithful. Hallelujah. So, but what is this faithfulness I've been talking about? What is faithfulness? We have seen that God requires in stewardship that we have seen that we are created unto what? Good works. Hallelujah. We have seen that we are created unto good works. We are God's workmanship. We are enabled and empowered to do the work of God. Hallelujah. So what is faithfulness? Let me give us a few definitions for those of us taking notes. Doing what as he has asked us to do. What's faithfulness? What's faithfulness? That's faithfulness. Doing what he has asked us to do. See, don't let me give you something that is, that you can't, see, if you forget anything today, remember this. Faithfulness is what? Doing what he has asked us to do. What's faithfulness? Fulfilling the assignment given to you. We saw it in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, that we all have assignments. Do you know the work of the pastors and the prophets and the teachers and the apostles and the evangelists is not the work of the ministry? Sorry, did anybody hear that? Am I saying something that is wrong? I don't have time to go into it. Ephesians 4, 11 to 15. Read that when you get home. The work of the prophets, the pastors, the evangelists, the teachers, the prophets, and the apostles is to prepare us for the work or the ministry. But in our age, who is doing the ministry? Or what? Who have we told, have we said in our hearts, we are paying them now? Aren't we pastor is collecting salary now. He's not working for free now. I have my own 9-to-5. I have to work for myself. But who is God's demand on to do the work of the ministry? On us. That's an aside. Anyway. Requirements for faithfulness. I want to take some time on this. Requirements for faithfulness. What are the requirements? The key requirements for faithfulness. We have seen that in Psalms 12 and verse 2, that some people will come out and declare themselves faithful. Sorry, that's Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Some people will come and declare themselves faithful, but God wouldn't declare them faithful. Right? So, we need to know on what basis does God declare people what? Faithful. So, we can measure ourselves in the light of this. We can measure our lives in the light of this. We can measure our service in the choir in the light of this. We can measure our service in the ocean in the light of this. We can measure our service in sanitation in the light of this. God's word is the basis and the measurement for which we measure whatever God has called us to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at the first one. Let's look at Luke 13, 6 to 9. Luke 13, 6 to 9. Luke 13, 6 to 9. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we enjoying this sermon? We are all quiet, oh. We are also very quiet. Hallelujah. Luke 13, 6 to 9. Good. He also spoke this parable. Listen to the parable he spoke. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Okay? Then he said to the keepers of his vineyard, look, for 3 years, how many years? For how many years? For how many years? For how many years? Listen to this. For 3 years, I have come seeking fruit of this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? Listen, this is the Lord speaking. For 3 years, this guy has been in church. For X and X years, I have been feeding him my word. For X and X years, I have been imparting him with my grace. For X and X years, I have been speaking to him in his heart. Hallelujah. But the master came and required fruit, and he found what? No fruit. And what did the master say? We're not reading our Bible. What did the master say? Leave it. Pet it. See, if we don't realize, God requires fruit from our lives. The master doesn't sow a seed without an expectation of fruit in return. He goes on to say, look at it. But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone. How many more years? This year also. Until I dig around it and fertilize it. Let's give it some more time. Hopefully. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can what? What should you do to it? Leave it. What? The first requirement in faithful stewardship is fruitfulness. Let me tie this verbatim to what it really is. Soul winning. I'm telling you verbatim. We can interpret that in several lights. Right? In several lights. Fruits of the Spirit. Blah, 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 blah. Let me tie this verbatim to what the scripture is saying here in its literal and figurative meaning. Is what? Soul winning. So a critical requirement for faithfulness is what? Fruitfulness. Being fruitful. Let's look at the next one. And mind you, we are not called to make what? Converts. We are called to make disciples. Mind you, FYI, so you know. We are not called to make what? Going into the world and make converts. Yes or no? Is that what the Bible said? Going into the world and make what? Disciples. Who will disciple them? Pastor Benga. Who is the person that led them to Christ? Is it the person? Let's leave it alone. Next one. Luke 16. I'm going to spend a little of time here. Luke 16. So that when we go out and we go through our day, the Holy Spirit will bring this thing to mind and trick you. What did I say? The Holy Spirit will bring it to mind and what? In case you didn't know before. Luke 16. Let's do verse 1 to 5. Then we'll do verse 8 and 12. It says, and he also said to his disciples, yeah? There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that his man was wasting his goods. I've endowed him with a lot of things, but he's not making anything of it. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give account. Somebody say, give account. Give account. Give account. God is an accountant. I can show you that very clearly in scripture. God is what? An accountant. And all the accountant is about is what? Profit and debit and that's the language of accountants. I can show you very well. God is an accountant. If you didn't know God's profession before, now you know it. And it says what? Give account. Let's stop there. Give account. The next requirement in faithfulness is accountability. I'm going to say this now. I'll come back a little bit before we close, and I'll balance it up with something else. Our stewardship is not in isolation. Our stewardship is not. So, we are what? In a family. Remember? The Lord is our Lord. Right? Primary mindsets to have when discussing and thinking about stewardship. So, you have an elder brother. An elder brother that is a little more mature, at least 5 years older than you. And he tells the younger brother, go and wash the dishes. I will sweep the house. And the younger brother goes, because the dad says, I've left you in charge of the house. The elder brother, I've left you in charge of the house. Manage and ensure everything is taken care of before I what? Come back. The younger brother goes, no, daddy didn't tell me. Do you know many of us are doing that? Let me give you a simple example that a lot of us make. Come to church. I feel burdened in my spirit to pray on Sunday. Imagine so. A critical requirement in faithfulness is what? Accountability. Meaning that God has put people over us that we report to, that he has given a mandate to instruct us in our stewardship, that we will eventually come and be account and will be accountable for what they have mandated us to do. So stewardship is not in what? Isolation. You're not going to wake up and say, okay, now this is what I must be doing. Hey, except Daddy Gio, or your Pastor Benga, if you are in this assembly, you are under what? Instruction. Don't let me jab us. We'll be all right. Amen. Let's take the next one. Let's take the next one. Matthew 25:14-30. We can't read that. We know it's a popular scripture. It's the parable of what? The talent. The parable of what? The talent. And what does that parable tell us? The master gives 1 5. The master gives another 1 2. Then the master gives another 1. The guy the master gives 5 goes, labors with that 5 is given to him, and he comes back and what? Brings a return. Right? The one that the master gives 2 goes, labors with it, brings a return of the same equivalent what? Measure, right? The one that the master gives 1 goes, digs the ground and says, this is my master. He wants to be reaping where he did not sow. And the master comes, remember, accountability, right? And he asks them to what? Give account of their stewardship, right? The master comes, asks them to give account of their stewardship. What does that scripture tell us? I can spend an entire 2 hours sermon on that scripture and I won't exhaust it. But let me give you a few things to learn from that scripture. The point here is proportional return. It's a requirement for stewardship. Proportional what? Return. This is something I realized early on in my faith. Do you know what? This is something I realized very early, and it was my discipler then that taught me this. Solid the word of God. God bless his soul. And he taught me this. If Baba Adeboye dies now, and I die now, listen. If Baba Adeboye dies now, and I go to be with the Lord to now, do you know God can reward us equally? Uh-uh. Pastor Kenny, error. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Bible has said it. God will judge him at the proportion to the endowment he's giving him. God will reward him at that same measure of proportion. God will judge me at the proportion of the grace and the measure he has given me now. And he will reward me at that same level of proportion. So I can go to heaven and get the same crown that the boy will get. Not to say that I will now. My past faithfulness, oh my. Above and beyond. But this is how God perceives these things. Faithfulness, a measurement for faithfulness is what? Proportional. That means at whatever level you are now, God is judging your level of faithfulness at that level. Let me tell you this, most of us don't realize. The same judgment that Pastor Gwenga is getting is the same you are going to get in heaven. I'll look at that shortly. We'll look at that. Because there are two questions God asks every human being that exists. There are only two. Kojuelo, I read it from the first book I read when I gave my life to Christ. My mother's had the copy in the house. I just gave my life to Christ. I just went to go and take that book. His name is called Purpose Driven Life, the Quarry. Yeah, and he said this in that book. He said that when we get to heaven, there is the first question. What did you do to my son? That will determine where or what divide of eternity we spend the rest of eternity. The next question, what did you do with what I asked you to do? What did you do with what I gave you? That will determine how we spend eternity. The question of stewardship is the second question. Hence, Paul tells us, be heavenly conscious. See, we have a sure reward. See, you guys don't know. See, say you live. You live now. You live 120 years. How many years? You live, oh, you stretch it. You live 120 years. But do you know how long eternity is? Hiya. Don't let the Satan deceive us. He said in Colossians, he says, looking on those things which are above. See a man's mindset. So much so, he says, I press towards the mark for the heavenly calling. See the man's mindset. And he came to the end of his race. I have run my race. I've been faithful. Now, awaits me. He has a mindset of a sure reward. Hey. The point in that story is that we are going to be judged and rewarded at the measure of what we have been given per time. The next one, Matthew 24, 41 to 51. Matthew 24, 41 to 51. It also gives us a similar story on stewardship. Okay, don't have it there. Okay. And it says, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Let me paraphrase this because of our time. So the question here is, if a master gives the servant responsibility and he goes away without monitoring him, how diligent would that servant be, that steward be, at the assignment given to him? The next requirement is diligence. Diligence stewardship. And the reverse of diligence is this: eye service. What's the reverse of diligence? Eye service. Let's move to the next one. I want to, like I said, I can't do justice to a lot of these things. The next one, this is the most important. I'll spend some time on this. In fact, if we end here, I think we're already blessed. Are we blessed? Are we blessed? Amen. I'm blessed. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 to 5. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 4:1-5. Let no one dis- sorry, pardon me. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Listen to this. Moreover, somebody say moreover. Moreover, it is required in stewardship that one be found. The same measure that God gave to Adam is the same measure God will give to the last saints before Christ returns. Every time in scripture that God spoke about stewardship, the reward for stewardship or the yardstick of stewardship was always faithfulness. But that's not what we want to see here. Let's go quickly. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. Listen to this. You have to get this. In fact, I do not even judge myself. So he's saying that, how do I measure my faithfulness? Is it by what you say? What pastor says? What the judge says? What even I myself say? That's his question. Listen to this. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is... If you get this, you have gotten the gist. He who judges me is... Pastor Gwenga. Eh? You're united. So, somebody... He's coming late for Pari house. And he says, no. Do you know the traffic that was on the road? Aren't you living in Lagos? Don't you know there's always traffic on the road? And he says, you are judging yourself. It's the traffic. It's the traffic. You can't live in this Lagos and come anywhere early. Do you go to your work late? He who judges me is... Let's go to the next one. That is understanding this. In the requirements for faithfulness, we must understand that our faithfulness is God-centered. We must understand that our faithfulness is what? God-centered. Let me eat Brother John. Brother John is our soon-to-be husband, so he's going to be celebrating by can eat him a jab. Pastor Kenny, this multimedia thing, go hear me more. Today, it is working. Tomorrow, it's not working. Next tomorrow, the device has something has scrambled in the US, in the CPU. So, who is the one that is measuring your faithfulness? So, I understand, though, Brother John. But it was God that said, cut it off. It wasn't me. I understand. But God said what? Cut it off. Let's look at the last one. The last point. Let's flip to the, if you are using the Bible, you might flip, but 1 Corinthians 3:12-16. Now, if anyone, this is a very powerful scripture, let's read it. Read, please. When we get to verse 16, put it in the Amplified. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, he's talking about the foundation, building upon the foundations of the doctrines of Christ and all of those kind of things, apostles, prophets. With gold, silver, precious stones, wood, stubble. Each one's work will become manifest. You have it in the Amplified? Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Listen to this. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. What is the quality? Is it gold? Is it silver? Is it air? Is it stubble? Fire will test each of our works of what is what? What sort? What quality is it? If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures. So some people's work will endure. Hence, the scripture says, when we get to heaven, the Lord will wipe away some tears. Some people will cry because they will see their reward in heaven and they will say, is this how I'm going to live my eternity? Amen. If anyone's work, which is built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If the work endures, what will happen? If the work doesn't endure, what will happen? Eh? So they have brought fire and it's paper. If the work doesn't endure, will the person receive a reward? So do you think everybody in the Christian faith is going to receive a reward in heaven? Let's read on. Is our Bible? Am I reading Quran? Am I reading Quran? Is this the book of Buddha? It's our Bible. Let's read. Amen. 15 and 16, let me wrap this up and I think I'll just share one or two things and we'll close in 5 minutes. If anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer loss. I told you, God is an accountant, right? But he himself will get to heaven. Yet, so as true word, fire. Let's read the last verse in the Amplified. Verse 16. We know the scripture very quickly, right? Do you not know Yahweh, the temple of the Lord? We always say that to say, be purified. Yes, there is a particular scenario and context that fits that. But this context is different. Amplified. It says, do you not know and understand that you, who is he talking to? So you see that scripture wasn't speaking to apostles and prophets and teachers. That you, the church, are the temple of God. Remember, he was talking about what? Know how you are building. So we are collaborating with God to build the church. And that spirit, and that the spirit of God dwells in you permanently, in collective and individually. So, why am I putting this in the Amplified? End. That's how far we can go. That's how far we can go. Amen. Amen. Let's take these two scriptures down that speaks to the reward of faithfulness. So let's know why we are doing what we are doing. I can't give you too many of those scriptures, to be honest. I'll just give you two. Let's look at Psalms 10, verse 1 and 2. Psalms 10, verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Sorry, I think there's a mistake there. Let's take Proverbs 28 and verse 2. And verse 20. Proverbs 28, 20. Proverbs 28, 20. Okay, it says, a faithful man shall abound with what? A faithful man shall what? You see, the apostles asked Jesus, we have left all, we have followed you. Where is our reward? And he told them that their reward, yes, be received in heaven. But whatever they've left on this earth in service for the kingdom, to the degree of 100-fold, they'll receive in this life. To the degree of how many fold? We're not getting it. They're not getting it. Let me tell you two stories before I leave. Personal stories. So, I'm not preaching at us. Let me be honest. I live this, measuring myself on this on a daily basis. Last year, I didn't reach the mark. And I'll be honest to say, I had justifiable reasons why I didn't reach the mark last year. And I had a discussion with Lord. And he told me, and I knew. He didn't need to tell me because I know these things. And I knew I didn't reach the mark last year. So I'm not preaching at us, please. We are all living our race, right? Going through this journey. I remember a few weeks after I got married, 2018, my mom said, come and do Thanksgiving in our church. They have come here, we have done Thanksgiving. We have done their own wedding and everything. Come and do Thanksgiving in our church. And sentimentally, I said, Kilo and Ben, it's not one Sunday. Let's do it for you. After this, it's not over. And God was looking at me. And I was sitting in that church that day. And I just heard the voice of the Lord. What are you doing here? See, most of us, we think we are hearing God. We're not hearing God. I heard it clearly. And I know when the Lord speaks to me. What are you doing here? I said, we are doing Thanksgiving in my mother's church. And the Lord told me, you left my work. For who? See, it's better we get the rebuke of the Lord here than to get to heaven and cry. There are a lot of things I can't share with you. There are a lot I can't share with you. You come, you say, Pastor. Oh, Pastor prophesied. Nothing's happened in my life. There's a lot of things I can't share with you. Let me give you one something that happened a few times. Not once, not twice, not three times. And I can give you a lot, but I won't go into that because I'm not here to talk about myself. We have looked at the word of God, right? And I've seen it's the word of God that we heard. I remember a few years ago, maybe about 4 years ago, we had just moved into this facility. I was living at Gbagada at the time. And I was what you would call class act broke. What will you call me? Class act what? Broke. As in, I didn't have 50 naira to my name for that season. Sometimes it would come, I was really, really struggling. We were married then, my wife and I. Nobody will know, we'll come to church, everybody. My business was zero. Business that I was doing well before we got married, zero. We were really struggling. And I remember that time, I was head of facility then with Sister Joy and team. I remember my fantastic guys. And we always would come to church on Saturdays to clean. And I remember there was a number of times, not once, not twice, that I walked from Bagada to this church and walked back because I didn't have money. I'm not saying this to toot my horn. I don't know how many kilometers is from Bagada to Maryland. There was one day, we and Joy were together that day. So we were going back. So I think she was going somewhere. So we got we were going. I said, okay, no worry. I will see you. And she had gone, crossed over. And I said, I just want to pray a bit. And something. I locked the door. I carried my kaya. I started the walk. See, God rewards faithfulness. See, aside from me mentioning this day, nobody has known about this thing before. What are the excuses you are giving? I can't talk about the excuses we are giving. I don't have time to talk about the excuses we are giving that is injuring our faithfulness. I don't have time for that. I had it in my notes, but I said, no, I won't touch it. That let's hear what God has told us and let's go and run with it. What are the excuses we are giving? The Lord is the one that is marking our scripts. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that as we have heard your word, you have instructed us, our hearts will run with this truth. That when it's all said and done, you will find us faithful. That every phase of our lives, you find us faithful.